Now, I don't know. I have not had all that much counseling training. Maybe I ought to have a little more before I make a statement like this. But I rather doubt that it will do the counselor hurt to give the counselee an understanding that you're human too. I never will forget. A lady came to me one time, and I thought, you know, I was supposed to be God's little God to his people. And I just wasn't supposed to have problems. So they'd come, and, you know, I'd sit there like, you have a problem. As if I'd never known anything about it, you know. And so a lady came to me one night at the close of a revival, happened to be the pastor's wife. She poured out to me the awfulest tale of woe. She had to juggle her mask. She said, I tell you honestly, I feel like quitting. I get sick and tired of being nice to all this bunch of people, and I'm tired of role playing, and I sometimes wonder if I'm saved at all. I'm just so godless. And she just poured out. I know she had never told anybody that before. And when she got through, she just, as often as done, she just balled up the whole thing, threw it in my lap as if to say, now, what are you going to do about it? And for the first time in my life, I said something like this. You too, huh? She said, what do you mean? I said, you mean you have all these feelings too? She said, you, not you. You've written books, right? You preach the life, right? You mean you've felt these things too? Every one of them? I don't know that I helped her, but I sure made her feel like she had company. And here Paul gives us an insight into what made him tick. I don't know what you believe about this. Suppose it doesn't make all that much difference. I have an idea that Paul was talking about himself. I really don't think there's much doubt about it. And it was such an otherworldly experience that Paul sort of talked about it in the third person. It was so unique and so mystical, and he wanted to stand in awe of it. And I think I checked that 14 years prior to this might have put him back in his missionary journey when he had that experience of some rejection, and they stoned him. And you know, a fellow had got a feeling that somebody didn't want him around if he wasn't careful, and could come off of that with a rejection complex. Now, the fact is, I think that Paul may have had one of those experiences in which clinically he might have been examined and said to have been dead. That's not out of reason, but you don't have to believe that. But nevertheless, he had some sort of vision, some sort of experience that was strange and mystical. And if this was true, they left him under a pile of rocks. I don't know whether anybody thought to examine him or not. You didn't survive stonings in those days. They just didn't throw pea gravel at you, you know. They picked up boulders the size of your head or bigger and threw them, and bones were broken and the skin was slashed and the whole bit. And there he was under a pile of rocks. And everybody left, and there was the pile of rocks. And directly there's a move underneath, and one rock tumbles down, and directly this little fella shrivels out from under the rock and stands up, brushes himself off, and heads back into town. Now, you know, there have been a lot of theories about what is wrong with Paul. We don't know. Folks that feel like God has to heal everybody or can't be God say, well, it couldn't be physical. It couldn't be an illness. I suppose it could. If God wanted it to be, it could. In fact, you better not tell God he can't do anything. He'll turn around and do it just to spite you, just to prove you wrong. And he'd had a tremendous experience. God had given him revelation. God was following through with intentions to use him as a chosen vessel. And this was not only going not to thwart God's purpose, it was going to enrich it. And Paul had been to the other side and had seen glories that he couldn't describe, had heard revelations that he couldn't repeat. And I have this feeling that one reason for that was God knew what was ahead for Paul, and he had to give Paul such a spiritual vision that his physical vision, what his eyes saw and his ears heard, would never override what he knew to be true by faith, what he knew to be true spiritually. You know, after all, that's where we have to get. To where what eyes see and ears hear and senses inform us never overwhelms what we know by spiritual revelation. So Paul would be subject to beatings and shipwrecks and would be cast in every kind of role and would live out the last days of his life in a prison cell and then give in to the guillotine to be beheaded. But he never allowed what he saw spiritually to override, to be overridden by the physical. And so when he came back, God fixed him.